This is Yemen. It's the second largest Arab sovereign state in the peninsula, with a rich civilization and culture, today a developing country, and similar to the African nations, in terms of resources, it's one of the richest, yet in reality, the poorest country in West Asia due to imperialism. And it's being bombed by the American-backed Saudi regime. 13 million people in Yemen are at the verge of dying from lack of food in the next 3 months. The UN has declared that this might be the worst famine in 100 years. People in Yemen are boiling leaves from trees and eating them in order to keep themselves alive. On top of it, the Saudi regime has imposed a blockade on the country, preventing food, medicine, and aid from getting to the people of Yemen. Dear brothers and sisters, fellow human beings, this is a time where we absolutely must put aside our differences and unite as humans for the sake of Yemen, because it's become too much. Stop just a moment and realize that these are human beings being massacred by the Saudi regime, backed by the USA and the UK. Now, just in order for us to understand how things have reached this point, I'm gonna give you a bit of a rundown on what's actually going on. Ali Abdullah Saleh was the president of Yemen from 1978 up until the Islamic Awakening. He was a kind of Saudi sympathizing puppet of the West. Under his rule, Yemen was described as a corrupt kleptocracy. He's often described as a dictator, and he's been accused of plundering billions of dollars from the poorest Arab nation during the 2 decades he was in power. According to the 2009 International Corruption Perceptions Index, Yemen ranked 164 out of 182 countries surveyed. That's why even if some try to show you that Saleh was democratically voted for, the de facto state of Yemen under his rule was incredibly corrupt. Now, do you remember the Islamic Awakening, where people throughout the Arab world started to rise up against their puppet dictator rulers? Well, in 2011, the Yemeni revolution happened. And it's important to note that one of the things which urged the uprising of the Yemeni people against the corrupt government was because of the government's proposals to modify the constitution of Yemen so that President Saleh's son could inherit the presidency. That sounds familiar. Haven't we seen this before in history? The corrupt leadership of a nation warping into a hereditary monarchical dictatorship? Is this not precisely what Imam Hussein, the grandson of the Holy Prophet, rose up against over 1,000 years ago? The people of Yemen were sick of this tyrannical puppet president ruling over them. That's why the Yemeni resistance, known as the Houthis, who are officially called Ansarullah, have been fighting against the corruption. Today, Ansarullah are led by Abdul Malik al-Houthi, may Allah bless him. Ansarullah, the popular resistance movement, rose up and charged President Abdullah Saleh of massive financial corruption and being backed by Saudi Arabia and the United States at the expense of the Yemeni people. And this was the God-given humanitarian right of the Yemeni people to rise up against their corrupt leaders. Ansarullah's goals were basically to boot out the corrupt politicians, support a non-sectarian democratic republic in Yemen, and to combat economic underdevelopment and political marginalization. Every freedom-loving person in the world should recognize that Ansarullah are fighting against tyrannical powers. The main ethos of Ansarullah is to fight corruption no matter what the cost. So what this guy, President Ali Abdullah Saleh, basically did after he'd resigned as president and was succeeded by the vice president Mansour Hadi is he pretended to support the Houthis in 2015. You know, like, yeah, I'm on your side, power to the people, yeah. Like a Trojan horse, he pretended to be siding with Ansarullah, openly allying himself with them during the Yemeni civil war. Now, contrary to what Western media would have you believe, which is that Ansarullah simply went and took over Sana'a, the capital of Yemen, this is a complete oversimplification of what actually went down. The truth is that Ansarullah had been fighting against Takfiri groups, namely Al-Qaeda, in the region, something which Mansour Hadi had failed to do. There was a mass protest by the Yemeni people, led by Ansarullah, for government institutional reforms. At this point, Mansour Hadi, instead of addressing the demands of the people, ran away to Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia wanted to basically create a power vacuum, create anarchy, create confusion inside the country. The sons and daughters of Yemen at this point did not allow their nation to fall into the state of anarchy. They united all the political parties of Yemen to form a joint coalition government to fill the power vacuum. The people of Yemen proved that they could stand independently on their own feet. Saudi Arabia in the same year, 2015, began what they called Operation Decisive Storm. What a stupid name. They bombed Ansarullah and sought a naval blockade and deployment of ground forces into Yemen. In 2017, Abdullah Saleh, the Rat, showed his true colors, declaring his withdrawal from his coalition with Ansarullah and instead sided with Saudi Arabia, the UAE, and President Hadi. He used his own political powers to try to break apart the popular Yemeni resistance and create a rift for the sake of the Saudi regime. But Ansarullah were too ahead of the game, and Abdullah Saleh was shot dead by an Ansarullah sniper. Unlike other mass protests which took place throughout West Asia during the Islamic Awakening, Ansarullah and the people of Yemen actually won their freedom. Now, it should have been a happily ever after for the people of Yemen after they got rid of Mansur al-Hadi. They saw past the trickery of Abdullah Saleh, they took control and they won their freedom. You'd think that the superpowers who boast so much about blah 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 blah, democracy, blah 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 blah, freedom, would just back off and say, hey, you know what, the people of Yemen have decided, they've revolted, what can we do, you know what? Let's just leave them to themselves, you know, each to their own. Maybe we can be trading buddies in the future.
No.
We have to note that there is a political hegemony dominated by Saudi Arabia in the region and orchestrated by the USA in order to massacre and obliterate Yemen. They want to brutally punish Yemen and its people for having the audacity to claim their freedom from the Zionist, imperialist West and the Saudi regime. Remember, this is similar to what the Iranian people did back in 1979 when they rose up against the Western-backed dictator Reza Shah. And today, Iran is an independent nation where the people themselves call the shots, not the Zionist imperialist West. Saudi Arabia, working as the merciless dog on the leash of America in the region, has basically bullied other nations in the region to join its crusade against Yemen. In the Operation Decisive Storm, fighter jets and ground forces from Egypt, Morocco, Jordan, Sudan, United Arab Emirates, Kuwait, Qatar, Bahrain, and Academy. Who the heck is Academy? Oh, that's right. Academy is an American private military company founded in 1997 by a former Navy SEAL officer. It was formerly known as Blackwater. That's right. Renamed as XE Services in 2009. It's the same private American company. They just keep changing their name. Djibouti, Eritrea, and Somalia made their airspace, territorial waters, and military bases available to the coalition. All of these are basically ganging up on the poorest country in West Asia. Isn't that sad? Saudi Arabia even tried dragging Pakistan into the mix. We have to know that the United States provided intelligence and logistical support, including aerial refueling and search and rescue for downed coalition pilots. It also accelerated the sale of weapons to coalition states. The US and Britain have deployed their military personnel in the command and control center responsible for Saudi-led airstrikes on Yemen, having access to lists of targets. They have been bombing and blockading and terrorizing Yemen ever since. Julian Borger of The Guardian described it as a humanitarian disaster. The UN Undersecretary General for Humanitarian Affairs, Stephen O'Brien, said with 80% of the population of about 26 million people in need of some kind of humanitarian assistance and more than 1,800 civilians killed by fighting since March, the impact of the conflict on civilians is indeed catastrophic. Now, the question is, why are they doing this? It does not make sense for Saudi Arabia to commit such an incredible act of genocide under the eyes of the public, which even the mainstream media cannot deny, while everyone knows that America is the number one avid supporter and funder and protector of the Saudi regime. Why would they be so intent on punishing the Yemeni people so brutally while risking exposing themselves for the brutal, tyrannical terrorists that they are to the world? To put it simply, they're afraid, just like every bully in reality is afraid. In 1979, the imperialistic powers knew that what happened in Iran with the Islamic Revolution would set a new standard and an example for other nations to follow suit. That's why they're afraid of revolution. If you just whisper the word revolution to Trump or Netanyahu or the Saudis while they sleep, they'll wake up having wet the bed and they'll cry for their mothers like it's judgment day. They're not real leaders. Abdul Malik al-Houthi of Yemen, he's a real leader. Look at this picture. This was before the famine, and now look at him. Look at how much weight he's lost. He's suffering with the people of Yemen. He's not like these fat politicians who soak up the wealth of the people they rule over and give nothing back to society except pain. His brother, Sheikh Hussein al-Houthi, was murdered by the regime, shot dead in cold blood after the Western-backed puppet regime put a bounty of over $75,000 on his head. These are the ones who are willing to sacrifice themselves for the sake of their people, not the corrupt politicians supported by the West. We have to fully recognize that Saudis are the filth of the world. They're the most disgusting people on the face of the planet. They are takfiris whose ideology is exactly the same as that of ISIS, Daesh terrorists. They pretend to be Muslims while kissing up to America and the Zionists and giving a bad name to Islam everywhere. Here's the former Saudi king sitting because he's too fragile and old to stand for prayers. And here he is dancing with a sword in his hand. Sophia is a robot. This thing was given Saudi Arabian citizenship, becoming the first robot ever to have a nationality. I guess that means that she has the right to vote. The Saudis consider themselves to be the custodians of the Holy Kaaba, which is the holiest site known to Islam. And yet, the stoning of the pillars, which represent the devil, the stoning of which is compulsory for every Hajj pilgrim, has been covered up by a wall by the satanic Saudis. Apparently because they care about the safety of the Hajj pilgrims.
Yeah, right.
They care about the safety of pilgrims so much that, let's not forget, in 2015, over 2,000 pilgrims died due to Saudi negligence. And I use the word negligence loosely because it's highly speculated that the Saudis orchestrated this tragedy in order to purposefully murder Ghazan Farooq Nabadi, an Iranian diplomat who was among the pilgrims. And it didn't matter to them how many other people would die in the process. Imagine ISIS, Daesh terrorists having control of a nation, and you'll have the Saudi regime. They have the same mercilessness, the same lack of care for human life, the same takfiri mentality. They have the same hatred for anyone who does not share the same ideology as them. They don't care if you're Sunni or Shia, because they are neither. They are takfiris who are funded by the exact same people that ISIS, Daesh terrorists are funded by, i.e. the United States of America. They don't give a damn about Palestine, and just look at what they're doing in Yemen. Nicholas Kristof stated that America is helping to kill, maim, and starve Yemeni children. And yet, a lot of the media attention is going to Jamal Khashoggi, a Saudi Arabian journalist who the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, MBS, that's Mohammed Bonsor, I mean, bin Salman, allegedly chopped up into little pieces. Now, one of my teachers actually knew Khashoggi personally, and he describes Khashoggi as a nice guy, certainly had differences of opinion, someone who is a friend, but you have a different understanding and beliefs, but you respect each other. This is the kind of person that Khashoggi was. Yes, we have ideological differences with Khashoggi. Yes, he was a proponent of Saudi Arabia's execution of the Honorable Sheikh Nimr. We don't agree with Khashoggi on many things. But the fact that some people are highlighting their ideological differences with Khashoggi in the aftermath of his brutal murder by the Saudi regime begs the question, has human life really become this cheap? Was Khashoggi, at the end of the day, not a person, a journalist, a human? Was he somebody who was intentionally creating fitna and chaos and leading to the deaths of people out there, or was he just another journalist? He was sharply critical of Saudi Arabia's Crown Prince, MBS, and the King, and because of this, on the 2nd of October 2018, he was allegedly dismembered in the Saudi Arabian consulate in Istanbul, Turkey. First, the Saudis tried to deny it ever happened, then they tried saying, oh, Khashoggi died accidentally while we were interrogating him. Then, on the 20th of October 2018, Al Jazeera reported that they admitted that Khashoggi was killed inside its consulate in the Turkish city of Istanbul, saying he died in a brawl, but they're not mentioning where his body is. 2 days previously, it was reported by major news outlets that Saudi Arabia coincidentally wired $100 million to the United States of America amid the Khashoggi controversy. Sort this out for us, will you, please? We're in a bit of a mess, everybody's watching us. Everybody's saying that we killed him. This is how sick the Saudi regime is. And also the fact that media attention is at times so much focused on Khashoggi that it appears to eclipse the fact that 13 million people are on the verge of starvation in Yemen is unbelievable. Yemen is bleeding. To those out there who have fasted, you know the pain of hunger. Now imagine dying from that pain. That's what the children of Yemen are facing. That's what the mothers of Yemen, the fathers of Yemen are facing today. 13 million of them because of Saudi blockades and bombings. And it has to be spelled out. The Saudis would be nothing without Britain and America. In reality, Britain and America are orchestrating this genocide. Trump has even publicly stated that the Saudis wouldn't last 2 weeks without them.
And I love the king, King Solomon, but I said, King, we're protecting you. You might not be there for 2 weeks without us. You have to pay for your military.
And for once, he's not lying. Let's not forget that in 2017, America made the biggest arms deal in American history with the Saudis. That's $110 billion paid to the Saudis immediately and a further $350 billion over the next 10 years for tanks, combat ships, missile defense systems, bombs used to kill an innocent people who are already dying from famine. Meanwhile, America keeps its people bickering between Trump supporters and non-Trump supporters, the right versus the left, LGBT issues are put on a pedestal and made the standard for what it means to be free and equal in society. Tens of millions of people are left hungry in America. Police brutality is on the uprise while people are left bickering. Should we vote for this liar or that liar? Which one lies less? It's the entire system of America which is corrupt. It's the entire regime of America which needs to change. A regime which is causing bloodshed, mayhem, and famine abroad. And it's the same story in the UK. People left bickering over Brexit and NHS and tax cuts. Not sure whether they should vote for Jeremy Corbyn or to continue letting the wicked witch of the West and the goddamn Tories continue their campaign of corruption. It's so stupid! Meanwhile, in other news, The Guardian reports that Britain is complicit in Saudi Arabia's war on Yemen. UK arms sales to Saudi Arabia rose by 2/3 in 2017. The UN has even called on the UK and asked them, please, can you stop giving bombs to Saudi Arabia to use against Yemen? Even the Daily Mail reported that 111 RAF personnel have been seconded to BAE Systems to train Royal Saudi Air Force aircrew. This is what imperialists have famously done. If people are not distracted through circuses and Netflix, then they will distract you by creating poverty and creating drugs and creating police brutality and draw your attention away from the massive genocide that they're doing elsewhere. And as long as we are disconnected from our sense of humanity, we will never be able to defeat these people. This is not ordinary what's happening in Yemen. This is not just something like, oh, the world is a horrible place, but you know what? I've got school in the morning. I've got work in the morning. Oh, I need to think about other things. I've got this problem. I've got this issue. No, they are saying that something like this has not happened for 100 years. And I'll tell you this, this has never happened because unlike 100 years ago, there was no social media back then. Today there is. You are seeing what is taking place. You're actually witnessing this enormous genocide being orchestrated by America, by the UK, and by Saudi Arabia. These are people dying, people who have personalities like you. They have likes and dislikes. There's things that you'd like about their characters, then you dislike about their characters. People who like to share jokes. These are people who have sad days and good days just like you. These are people who want to be entertained and watch television just like you. How many Malcolm X's will it take? How many Nelson Mandela's will it take for humans to understand? 124,000 prophets to teach humanity how to be human. And we're still completely selfish, bickering about this and that and this and that. Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah has said, Yemen today is like Karbala, a scene of tragedy, sacrifices, severed bodies, children, women, and men. Abdul Malik al-Houthi has said, what they, the Saudis, want from our Yemeni nation is surrender. This is impossible. The courageous Yemeni people deserve their freedom, and they're willing to fight for it. This is the meaning of the Hayhat Minna Dhilla of Imam Hussein. And Imam Hussein said that if you neither believe in religion nor fear the hereafter, then at least be free from tyranny and arrogance. Your freedom is incomplete without the freedom of all people globally. You can't just sit there with this illusion of freedom while fellow human beings are treated so mercilessly. The people of America must swallow their pride and recognize that the White House, the Pentagon, and the CIA are absolute terrorists. And we, the public of the UK, have to come to terms with the fact that our government is guilty of unprecedented war crimes and that the Parliament is infested with pompous war criminals. And if we do not, then our generation is going to go down in history as being the generation that allowed one of the greatest atrocities in human history to take place while we knew exactly what was happening and who was behind it. America and England are the ringleaders in international terrorism and crimes against humanity. We have to recognize this and we have to stand against it. Use proper, authentic and trustworthy channels to deliver your financial support to the oppressed people of Yemen. Create your own trustworthy channels in order to financially assist the cause of Yemen. And it's not just about money. We have to stop this genocide from taking place by any means necessary. For instance, voice your opinion, write articles, deliver speeches, raise your banners, create movements, and support the movements that already exist. Use social media, make as much noise about Yemen as humanly possible. Conferences, protests, these are the bare minimum action items that have to be carried out globally, wherever you are. This is a time for us to put aside our differences and to put pressure on the Western government to stop supporting the Saudi genocide. This is a time to truly just put aside our cultural, religious, ideological differences. It doesn't matter anymore. This is not a time for us to say, oh, this organization is a Muslim organization, this one's Shia, this one's Sunni, oh, this one's Christian, this one's Jewish, this one's left, this one's right. It doesn't matter. This is about being human before any of those things. These are human beings dying, and the enemy wants us to believe that we can't make a change, that we can't make a difference, but we can if we try and we recognize who the enemy is. Remember, the enemy doesn't arrive by boat, he arrives by limousine. The enemy doesn't wear a Yemeni scarf, he wears a suit and tie. The enemy is not the one who's fighting to feed his kids, he's the one who wants you to shut up, stay home, continue bickering about non-issues while they carry out a genocide. We must stop them. Please, my fellow human beings, whether you're Muslim, Sunni or Shia, Christian, Jew, atheist, it doesn't matter. Wake up and rise to the call of Yemen.